Take your Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 1 this morning, if you would. We'll talk about Joseph, the man that God chose. And don't worry, ladies, we'll talk about Mary next week. This is the man's day. No, I'm kidding. Joseph, the man God chose. We all know Mary had the big part, didn't we? Don't we? Starting there with verse 18 in chapter 1, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means God with us." Of course, that prophecy was from Isaiah, chapter 7, I believe. But let's consider a few things this morning about Joseph. This morning, the man that God chose to be with Mary and help raise the Son of God. What an honor that would be. First, I want us to consider what Joseph knew. What did he know was going on at that time? Joseph knew about his ancestors, for instance. He knew that he was a part of a line of people that would someday lead to the Messiah. And if you want to read that whole line of people, it's earlier in this chapter. All those begats, this one begat that and begat that one. And there's some big names in that lineup. And Abraham is one of those. And King David is one of those. They were all part of this long line of succession to the Lord Jesus. Joseph, it said there, was engaged to a young lady named Mary. With all the excitement for the future that a young engaged couple would have, engagement, of course, then it meant something different than it means to us now. If a young man and woman gets engaged today, and for some odd reason they decide that they shouldn't get married, they just call it off. Per se. I know that's putting something simple that's much more complicated. But back then, when this thing of betrothal, it really meant once they were engaged, it was as if they were already married. They hadn't had the ceremony yet, but the commitment was there, the commitment to be married. And so when a young couple decided to be together, they were committing to each other for life. And it was such a strong bond that it required something similar to what we know of as a divorce today to separate. Very humiliating thing for a young couple to go through. So here is Joseph and Mary already committed to each other for life, a bright future ahead of them, exciting plans, no doubt, and all the dreams that go with it. And Joseph discovers that Mary is pregnant. And we're not sure how he found that out exactly or who told him. But we do read that after Mary, the account of her being visited by the angel Gabriel, who gave her the news that she would bear a son conceived by the Holy Spirit would be the Savior of the world. Luke 1:39 tells us that she ran away. And verse 39 of Luke 1 says, "In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah." And that town in Judah was where her cousin Elizabeth read, or lived rather. I'm sure that this is all quite a bit for Mary to take in, don't you? Quite a little bit for her to swallow, you might say. So she got the news and ran to Elizabeth's house. Now maybe Elizabeth began to tell her friends and the news trickled back to Joseph. I guess that's possible. They didn't have all the luxuries that we have today. They couldn't have posted it on Facebook, couldn't have put it on Instagram or sent a text message or even made a phone call or any of these things. And even writing a letter to somebody was a slow process. So we're not sure how exactly he received the news, but he did. He got the word. Well, now what? Now what? Well, Joseph knew the Old Testament laws. He knew he could have made a great big deal out of it. He could have put Mary away publicly, made a huge issue out of it. Could have had her stoned. He could have thought that she had committed adultery and had her stoned and all these kinds of things. But Joseph, even before the angel came to see him, he handled it with maturity. And his plan was he just put Mary away quietly. The scripture there told us not to embarrass her and all these kinds of things. But the fact of the matter is, Joseph had a problem that he had to figure out, right? He had a problem to figure out. Did you know today that God knows about your problems? He does, doesn't he? God knows about our problems. I'm so glad of that. Even before I get all worked up trying to figure out how to fix my problem, God already knows about it. God already has a solution for it. And all he's waiting for me to do is ask him what to do about the problem, right? Well, Joseph had a problem. And he started figuring out in his mind. He's trying to figure it out in his mind. You know, what do I do? And I'll do this and I'll do that. That's kind of the way we do, right? First I'll do this, first I'll do that. Maybe first we say, I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue what to do. It's such a big problem, I don't even know what to do. And probably Joseph didn't really know what to do, but this was the best thing he could figure out to do. But the problem with Joseph trying to figure out the problem was he didn't have all the facts, did he? He didn't have all the facts. He was trying to come up with a solution for the problem, but he didn't have the whole story. He was making plans without all the facts. That can get us in trouble, can't it? Make too quick of a decision. And the best decisions that you and I can make are decisions made from having the facts, especially if it's going to be a life-changing decision like Joseph was fixing to make, right? Life-changing decision. So Joseph knew some things. Now we want to see in our passage here what God wanted Joseph to know. A lot of times that's an entirely different thing, isn't it? What we know and what God wants us to know. As Joseph was going through all these things in his mind, wondering about his decision, how these things would all pan out, as we would say, somehow along in there he falls asleep. And an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream. You know, the dreams that you and I have are usually, it's usually something silly, isn't it? Usually something silly. Sometimes it's frightening and scary, kind of a nightmarish type of dream. But usually it's something that's been on our mind a lot of times, right? Through the day, something's been on our mind a lot lately, and we'll dream something silly about it. And our dream usually has people in it that we're familiar with. Oftentimes, I take these little Z-Quil melatonin things to kind of help me go to sleep and stay asleep. And I've noticed those things will put me in a, you know, you got different stages in your sleep. And it'll put me in a stage of deep sleep that you really have some crazy dreams when you're in those deep sleep. And I remember them. They're vivid. I remember I can wake up and talk about it. And a lot of times that's the way our dreams go, but Joseph's dream was a lot different, wasn't it? It was a lot different. I mean, it was real. Yes, it had something to do with what he'd been thinking about. It really had everything to do with what he was thinking about. But in Joseph's dream, an angel appeared and told him what was going to happen in the very near future. I mean, he could act on it. The angel began to speak, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." Man, what news, right? Mary, go ahead and take Mary as your wife. What has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. The promised Messiah. You see, Joseph, you're going to be part of the process of bringing the promised Messiah into the world. I mean, get a hold of that, right? And then God told Joseph what was going on with Mary. The child that Mary bears, this is not from another man like you, Joseph. If you're thinking that, if that's on your mind, that's not how this thing went down. The child that Mary is bearing has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. Wow. So don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. This is not a problem at all. This is not something you've got to figure out. God's already got it all planned out. And here's what's going to happen. Put your fears aside. Why don't you trust God? The angel could have said, "Don't worry, Joseph. Out of all the long line of ancestors that could have been picked for this time, you've chosen to be a part of this time that the Messiah would come." Wow, man, isn't that great news? Do y'all think that's good news? Do y'all think that even though you've heard that 100,000 times, that it's still good news, right? That's what preachers struggle with, right? What in the world am I going to say about Christmas that they haven't heard 100,000 times before? But I'm telling you what, when you think about God intervening here, and what Mary is conceived in Mary is of the Holy Spirit. That's a miracle, my friend. That's amazing. And so, Joseph, you go ahead and take Mary as your wife. And when the baby is born, here's what you're going to name him. You don't have to get out the books and look, what am I going to name my child? Let's name him Henry. No, I hate Henry because that reminds me of Uncle Henry. And he always came over and aggravated all of us. And I don't like Henry. I would have used Bill, but there's so many Bills in our. See, every one of them lifted up their head just then. Even the ones that were asleep, they lifted up their head. Oh. Now, Joseph. Here's what you're going to name the child. You're going to call him Jesus. And there's a reason why you're going to call him Jesus is because Jesus, this child, is going to save his people from their sins. Amen. How's he going to do that? It's yet to come, right? For them, it was still yet to come. Jesus would be born of a virgin. It's important that we know that, right? Because had he not been born of a virgin, he would have been born of sinful man who couldn't do anything about our sins if he was sinful himself, right? But no, Jesus would be born of a virgin, and he would come to save his people from his sins. Joseph, that's what God wanted you to know. So what did Joseph, what did that Joseph do? Well, in verse 24, we're told when Joseph woke up from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. What Joseph did, God uses obedient men like Joseph. You know it? God is always looking for obedient men to use. God can use men. God can use us in great ways if we'll just be obedient to him, right? And we'll just do what he says. Joseph did what he was told. He obeyed the Lord no matter what the cost. He took Mary as his wife, no matter how it looked to the community, because God told him so, right? He took Mary as his wife, no matter what the gossipers that were talking about behind their backs, because God told him so, right? He took Mary as his wife, no matter what the leaders down at the synagogue were saying, that never was going to believe in Jesus to start with, even after he came and proved that he was who he said he was. He took Mary as his wife because God told him so. Amen? Is that not the right way for us to do things, men? Do it because God told us so, not because we think different, not because we're afraid of what somebody might say. God told me to do it, so I'm going to do it. Joseph was obedient to the Lord, regardless even to what the financial cost would have been to him. Fact is, Joseph didn't put Mary aside, right? He took her as his wife. He put all those reasons he shouldn't take her as his wife aside, and he was obedient to God because God told him so, right? God told him so. And because he was obedient to God, God used him. God used him. Amen. You heard anything today that you is new? Maybe in a different way, right? Hopefully in a way that gets us really thinking about it again, of how great this miracle is. But what are some things that we can learn from this and take with us today? First off, it pays to know Scripture. You never know when you're going to need it to solve a problem, right? Joseph was ready to face his problem because he knew the Scripture. He knew what the Old Testament prophets had said about what was going to happen here. You know, there's some 40 prophecies circling around here that were fulfilled from his virgin birth, to where he would be born, all the events around his birth, the life that he would live, the fact that he would die on a cross and rise again, and all these things, and go on and on and on. Every detail of his life was already prophesied by the Old Testament scriptures, and Joseph seemed to know that, didn't he? Joseph seemed to know that. When Joseph was approached by this angel, yes, he was surprised, just like you and I would be surprised, but I don't think he was totally taken off guard, because he knew what God's Word said, right? He wasn't broadsided because he had the Old Testament prophets and what they had said. The second takeaway here is that God is looking to use men of integrity and obedience, right? Integrity and obedience. There's no greater honor than to be used by the Lord, right? That should be our heart's desire of every one of us this morning. I just want God to use me for something, right? I want God to use me, and it doesn't have to even be a big way, or just a small way that God would use me. no greater blessing. God is looking for men and women of integrity and obedience so that he can use them in great ways. Now, here's the silly thing. Don't blow up when you first hear about a problem. That's what Joseph could have did. Couldn't he? Just could have just lost his mind. Just went crazy. Are you a believer? Are you a born-again Christian? Then your problem didn't take God by surprise. He knew it was coming, and he has a plan to help you get through it, because nothing catches God by surprise, does it? Right? And so the next time you have a problem, and you will, and maybe you're right in the thick of a problem right now, well, guess what? God isn't surprised by your problem and my problem, right? It's funny sometimes how we have everything planned out in our lives. Sometimes we do, especially when we get older. We're looking at those last years. You know, God, I'm going to retire about such and so a time, and I'm going to set making plans, to have this in place and that in place, and then I'll be able to just coast on out. Everything's looking good. And for me, it was like, you know, I got this job, and I'm stoking money in the 401k, and I'm doing the church annuity thing, and I'm doing all these things, I'm building up, and I had it all figured out. But by the time I was, 60-some years old, I'm going to be here, maybe there, and you know what? I never figured I'd lose my job that was funding the income for all these things. But it didn't take God by surprise, did it? It took me by surprise. And the reason it took me by surprise is because God, I already had all these things planned out. And this is interrupting my plans. But it didn't take him by surprise, did it? And you see, God already had the plan figured out. I just needed to get with the plan, didn't I? And so, if your problem is rattling your cage right now, you need to get with the plan, right? Get with God's plan. He has the plan. He's already got it figured out. That's the way it was with Joseph. Don't get mad and lose your mind over it. Deal with it, right? Deal with it like a man or woman of God should deal with it. Stay calm. Pray about it. Believe God. What does the Scripture say about it? What does the Scripture... Well, I don't know what the Scripture says. Well, it's because you don't read the Scripture, right? you don't pay any attention to it. And here's something else that I've seen. Christians will get into a bind personally, or something will happen in their life, and they'll quit coming to church. Don't isolate yourself from the church when things are not going right in your life. That's the very time you need to be in church, right? That's the very time you need to be there. And I've heard it. I've had people say this to me. Well, preacher, I've got all these things happening in my life right now. As soon as I get things lined out, I'll be back. You'll see me back as soon as I get things straightened out. Well, I wanted to ask them, how are you going to do that? Right? How exactly are you going to straighten things out? And at what point do you decide that they're straightened out good enough to come back to church? You know, here's a better solution. Why don't you just keep coming to church? Because you know what? There's people sitting on these pews that have probably been through the same thing, right? You see, we need each other, don't we? And the church is the best place that you can be when you got a problem. Joseph, a man God could use to be a part of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. You see, Joseph didn't have a big problem, did he? He was just getting in on God's plan. And God used him because he had been faithful and he had been obedient. That's about what it boils down to, right? All right? Amen? Let's stand together, go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, we love you and praise you. And Lord God, I'm so thankful for Jesus. And Lord, so thankful for this time of year that we're reminded so strongly of why Jesus came. Lord, you came because I was a sinner. Lord, you came because I needed Jesus. I need to be saved. Lord, you came to us because you knew that we couldn't save ourselves. Lord, you came, and we thank you so much for that. Would you help my brothers and sisters here and myself to get this down deep today? This thing of being faithful and obedient to you, Lord, that would put us in a position that you can use us. And when we get to the point where we've got problems that seem to be overbearing, that we know that you already have a plan to help us get through. Thank you, Lord, for the promises of your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.